from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into the nightcap. I am not Zach Jones. My name is Joe Calley, and I am filling in for him while he's on his nice little vacation to sunny Florida. But without further ado, there's a lot going on right now, plenty to talk about. I first want to get right into some golf. Now, you could say the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour absolutely despised each other at this time last year when golfers were being pulled away from the PGA Tour to go play in the LIV Tour, and now I guess everything's been kind of, in a shocking turn of events, you could say, brought back around all to unification. The PGA is being called out for cash grabbing, whatnot. The PGA and the LIV Tour are getting together, and it's something that no one could have foreseen coming. Maybe you could have foreseen it, but wasn't in the bingo cards for this soon. I mean, the LIV contest, the LIV tour became a competitor quick, and the PGA saw it and I guess went for it nearly a year after the first LIV event. I mean, it's a collectively owned for profit. It's going to create one big entity in golf. And you got to think, how is this going to work? Phil Mickelson's been blasting on Twitter recently, absolutely blasting the PGA players and whatnot. And to see Phil Mickelson play with Koepka, you know, like that could be interesting. There are some good things that could come from this, but it's just not something you could foresee whatsoever happening. So that's been a big story of the day around the NFL. There's been the Bills groundbreaking ceremony was yesterday on their new stadium. The new Highmark Stadium was confirmed that Terry Pegula confirmed that the name will be staying with Highmark. You know, that's awesome. You don't normally see a team and a new stadium built in the same area. Bon Jovi's tried to move it. You know, the Austin Bills were almost a thing. I feel like that's almost sacrilegious to say, but that almost did happen at one point in time, but we are lucky that it's still here. So that happened yesterday. The Bills have also made some signing moves. We signed today officially, while rumors started swirling yesterday, officially signed today, veteran linebacker Leonard Floyd. The deal's worth $7 million. It's a one-year deal. And there's also a sack incentive involved, which could bring the total to $9 million. So that is a great pickup, I believe, for the Bills. A little late splash in free agency. You can't really argue with that. You know, it's just the Bills also re-signed Ed Oliver. That has brought up some controversy, some serious controversy with Bills fans. I mean, if you look at Twitter, that's about all that's going on with Bills fans right now. All good things from Leonard Floyd and the stadium, but not looking too good in Ed Oliver's corner right now, with a lot of people speaking out against his restructure. Even a caller earlier today on Chopin the Bulldog related it to Dawson Knox's contract from last year, where, you know, we're paying him all this money, we're extending him, and is he worth it? Has he shown he's worth it? We're taking a huge gamble. The Bills are not necessarily out of the woods yet with their cap, and you know they're putting a lot of time and money into Oliver, and he hasn't really panned out on his own. Yes, the addition of Ed Oliver certainly helped that last year, but it returned a return to average, if you will, after Oliver got injured. So after Miller got injured, sorry. And I don't know. I feel like I have kind of mixed feelings about it. I like Ed Oliver. He was really, really excited when he got drafted. All about Bills Mafia. But you can't really see anything magnificent that's come from his tenure. Yes, flashes of greatness, like we've seen with a lot of other players, including Tremaine Edmonds, who now a Chicago Bear, really stepped out on his contract year last season. And, you know, it's just... It's tough. It really is, because Oliver's been here for a while. He's been on these deep playoff runs with us. He's a good run defender, I will say that, especially when Oliver pulls some of that double team off the middle of the line. But it's just, I don't know if I could justify giving the extension and the amount of money he got with the current cap situation the Bills are under. So that is just very interesting to me. I know a lot of people are not necessarily on board with it either, but that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. The Lawrence Pilot, that's another, in other news, Lawrence Pilot has departed from the Sabres yet again, times two, and he signing with Switzerland's Pro Hockey League. He's on contract there for the next 2 years, so he played for the Amerks most of the season, did pretty well on their deep playoff push as well. But that's the second time Pilot has left for an alternate league somewhere else in the world. But then the Stanley Cup Finals as well. We have Vegas winning last night 7-2 against the Florida Panthers. And it's just, I don't know, Jack Eichel could be skating with a Stanley Cup over his head. And I don't know. I personally, I'm not a fan of that idea whatsoever. I don't like that idea necessarily, but it is foreseeable. Would I like to see Sam Reinhart over Jack Eichel on the way the terms of leave, you could say, from the organization? Sure. Yes, absolutely. Sam Reinhart should be holding the cup over his head. But Vegas is sweeping right now. Sweeping. But it's happened before where a team has not looked great in game one, game two, and then all of a sudden come back and revive themselves and brought themselves back. So I don't think it's out of the question for sure, but Florida's really going to have to dig, make things work, be able to do it. But, I mean, that's interesting as well. It's just 7:30 p.m. Thursday, Game 3. You can listen right here on WGR Sports Radio, brought to you by Fugle, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. That'll be a good listen, good watch. You know, it's interesting. I wish the Sabres were playing. I think everyone in Buffalo would. Sabres were a fun team to watch this season. There's no question about it. And I think in the next couple seasons, we could see them make a surprise Cinderella run, if you will, with a better goalie. I mean, there's some Carter Hart rumors going around now. It's kind of swirling up now for the Sabres. So UPL trade for Carter Hart? I don't know. Could be in the cards. We could see that happening. And then the Bandits in other news. Bandits won the NLL championships, brought a championship back to Buffalo. I know it's kind of, you know, old news, if you will, just because it happened on Saturday, but I mean, you can't really get over the fact that there's finally a championship in Buffalo in 15 years. I mean, it was the Bandits in 2008 who won the last one. And they've won five, I want to say that's correct. I'm not 100% sure. Not the biggest lacrosse guy. Go to a couple Bandit games a year. It's a good time. There's no question about it. It's amazing atmosphere there. If only a Sabres game could get 12,000 people on a regular night, like that would be fantastic, not just a special night. I think that'll be coming in the future, but the Bandits winning their championship, I think the dominoes are starting to tip. I think that was the first wall to crumble. Bandits win their championship now. Great. Bills Sabres season over, no shot there. New season starting up for both teams coming up soon here. Bills could win the Super Bowl. No question. They've been a contender for the past 4 years. Yes, the AFC is uber, super competitive. There's no question about it. But it's possible. Anything's possible. The Bills came back and almost won that Tampa Bay game a couple years ago. Thought you were out of that. Didn't think the Bills were going to make the playoffs this season, a lot of people. I mean, they were hyped, absolutely. But a lot of people were like, oh, the Dolphins are getting good. Oh, they're not going to be the one seed in the division. Please. I think we can say that could still happen. There's no question that there's a competitive AFC East right now. But the Bills can win the Super Bowl, and then the Sabres, they're a little further from a Stanley Cup. I'm not going to sit here and try and say that they're going to win it in the next couple seasons. Absolutely not. But I think the Bandits just started a trend here. We're bringing championships back to Buffalo. And whether you agree with me or not, I think there's a lot to be excited about either way. If you're like, no way, no way, or yes way. There's a lot to be excited about. But kind of wrapping up the breaking news, I mean, the Bandits also parade on Thursday, June 15th. Not parade, celebration in the square, celebrating the team's victory. So that if you're free Thursday evening, that'll be a good thing to go check out. First victory parade celebration in Buffalo in 15 years. And also, it's Bison's Bandits lacrosse night. So they'll be at the game as well, I believe. Bandits jerseys, wear them to the game, support the championship team in Buffalo. It'll be a good time. But wrapping up on breaking news here, I think one thing that needs to happen now, we did earlier today on Chopin the Bulldog, there were some reverse AFC power rankings. And it was a pretty good list. It really was. I mean, aside the controversy of Mac Jones' pass video being edited in New England, where the ball's leaving his hand at a completely different angle than it's falling in. The wind must have been going probably 100 miles an hour to create an arc like that, where it just swings across. But, I mean, New England is sitting at the bottom of the NFL. I'm going to stick to the AFC East here on tonight's nightcap. Maybe this coming week and next, as I fill in for Zach while he's away, we can go a little more in-depth. But stick with the AFC East here. There's a lot of talk going on right now. And we'll get to Brandon Bean in a little bit here. We have a press conference to listen to from earlier today, just to go through. Talked about DeMar Hamlin, Leonard Floyd signing Ed Oliver's contract. There's a lot going on, so we'll play that in a little bit. You'll hear that in a little bit. But AFC East, the Bills have been the favorites for the past few years now, no question. The Jets now are making a run for it. They have Aaron Rodgers, who a lot of people, this is kind of a 50-50 split. A lot of people are like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he's going to do it. He's going to take the Jets deep into the playoffs. Some are like, he's washed. After last season in Green Bay, he's proved that. The Jets invested in nothing. I'm kind of in between. I think you get a couple years out of Rodgers, right? You get a couple good years. Nothing insane, absolutely, but a couple good years. And the Jets are in win now mode. They are. They've invested in Rodgers now, getting good receivers that he has good chemistry with. Clearly, that offense is trying to go win something. So you know where the Jets are at. They're trying to win now. Miami, on the other hand, contender last year. They were in the playoffs. Beat us. We split the series with the Jets and Dolphins. 50-50. Like, if that's not scary, and the Jets didn't even have Aaron Rodgers when they did that, or half the receiving core they've picked up in free agency. Now they have Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, I think even that happened a couple weeks ago. But it's just, you can't sit here and deny that this AFC East is that competitive. And the Patriots, they have an offensive coordinator this year. They don't have Matt Patricia, defensive and special teams. They don't have him calling plays anymore. They have someone who took the team to the Super Bowl with Brady still on the team. And arguably, Mac Jones is that pocket passer plug-in, even though he tries to run sometimes, pocket passer plug-in like Brady. Not even trying to say he's Tom Brady 2, but he's that plug and play in that system that can do something okay. But you can't sit here and tell me that the AFC East is Bills all the way, and I'm one of the biggest Bills homers out there. Bills Mafia all the way. The Dolphins, get back to them. defense. They got Jalen Ramsey. Yes, Josh Allen has a pretty good record against Jalen Ramsey. There's no question. But you can't tell me that their defensive additions, even on the defensive line, are not scary, especially when they blitz every play. Yes, our offensive line has gotten better. We've gotten some pieces. I think it's gotten better. I don't know how everyone else feels about it. But I think it's going to be a good matchup. I think they'll split with the Bills and Jets again if I had to predict a record. If I had to say anything this early in the season. I mean, we're not even close to the preseason yet, and I'm already calling it out here. But I just think, it's tough to not want the Bills to win everything, right? Being from Buffalo, if you're listening out there and you're from here, I mean, we have listeners all over, callers from Tampa, Florida, Toronto. Like, if you're from Buffalo, you want the Bills to win, but you can't tell me that there's not that inkling in you that's like, okay, we're going to split with these two teams, maybe even the Patriots with an offensive coordinator if they really get things cooking. Even though they're editing Mac Jones throwing, you can't tell me that this is not going to be a competitive, exciting season, playing these teams twice, even probably three times a year. I'm gonna make that call right now. Three times a year is not out of the question. You've got Bills, Jets. Bills, Miami has gotten switched now, though. I will say that. That's a nice little breather, you could say. Instead of playing in 150-degree weather on the sunny sideline, they're now coming here to play in 70-degree weather. By that point, maybe even 65, 60-degree weather, pushing fall. And then we're going back there in December to play in 60-degree weather. So they won't be playing in snow. We won't be playing in sweltering heat. So I think that evens things up a little bit. But either way, I think the Bills-Dolphins split, Bills-Jets split. And I can even see the Bills-Patriots splitting. And I was at that Monday night game two seasons ago, where they ran it 45 times, Mac Jones threw three times, and that was the return of the Patriots, quote-unquote. And we now have that running back that ran 45 times on us, Damian Harris. So there's blood in the AFC East. There is. They're like the AFC West of last season. How touted they are. Last season, the AFC West with the Chiefs, the Broncos before Russell Wilson set foot on the field, thinking that it was, oh my gosh, they're going to do it. They're going to the bowl. The Chargers, still a great team that's kind of underrated, but they can't get it done in the big games. And now they have a good better offensive coordinator, arguably, that will help them get it done when they need to. Then you got the Raiders. I mean, okay, they're the Patriots with Josh McDaniel. There's no question. You can't really tell how that's going to go. They got Jimmy G, but now he didn't pass a physical or something I saw, so you don't know how that's going to go. But the Raiders are alike to the Patriots, where they're kind of the bottom feeders of the division. But that doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, I know you've heard Zach and Josh on Sports Talk Saturday a couple days ago mentioned that the Patriots are going to be one of the bottom feeders in the NFL. While I want to agree with that, I feel like there might be a little bit where they're like, they're lower to low. Like they're in that bottom. If you did 16 teams in the AFC, they're probably 13, 12, or 14, somewhere in that area. Not saying that's unpredictable, of course. Like that's what the Raiders and Patriots are. They're right around there. Raiders are even worse. Sorry, I can't even say that. But then you've got the Chargers and the Dolphins. I would put them on the same level. I really would. I think you have two good quarterbacks. Herbert's more of a gunslinger. He looks more like Josh Allen than Tua. But Tua has shown that, minus his injury proneness, which has become an issue, and that's a whole other thing as well. If he gets one more hit, what's the question there? Is he retiring? He said he contemplated it this offseason. But that's for another chat. But I think the Dolphins and Chargers are the two easiest ones to combine. Not to combine, to compare. Just with young quarterbacks, young talented quarterbacks and whatnot. And then you've got the Broncos and Jets. They're the, oh, we got the veteran quarterback and good receivers veteran quarterback is going to change this team. And then maybe doesn't. Maybe doesn't. Could. But maybe doesn't. Last season, Russell Wilson, in the offseason, let Russ cook. Broncos country, let's ride. That was all the talk. Now it's not. Now they won't let him set foot on another primetime game, except he's playing the Bills primetime. So now they have the flex rule because of that. But aside from the point, I digress. The Dolphins, Chargers are similar. The Jets, Broncos are similar. From everything in the AFC West is from last year. And then the Bills, Chiefs, of course, the two number one seeds in the past few years, who do make the deep runs into the playoffs consistently over the past, what, three, four years now? You can't argue with that. And the Chiefs, I mean, they're the number one. There's no question about it. As much of a Bills fan as I am, I can't sit here and try and say the Bills are better than the Chiefs. I mean, they haven't done it. Chiefs won the Super Bowl this past season. Bills have won none. And I'm not sitting here trying to be negative about it, but it's just being real. You gotta win a Super Bowl with this current team we have, especially now if the whole D-Hop thing throws a wrench into it. Like, that could be a big thing. Like, we don't know what's happening with that. Brandon Bean said today he's still open with it. You're going to hear that in his press conference. But it's interesting to look at the AFC East this year because it is so similar to the AFC West last year. And I don't think it's really going to switch up that much. I think you could see three of the four teams in the AFC East in the playoffs. You almost did last year. The Jets crash and burned. And the Jets also will have Breece Hall back, who had an amazing season last year. Granted, ACL injury, I believe. Coming back from those, you don't know how it's going to be. But I digress. The AFC West last year is the AFC East of this year. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. I know that was kind of vomit, word vomit, just with the breaking news and going into the AFC East. But, I mean, it's just... it's going to be a wild season. And there's with the news we've had the past couple days, just the PGA Tour and LIV Tour merging, like June's supposed to be a quiet time. There's not supposed to be a lot going on. Carter Hart might be coming to Buffalo now. People are starting to go crazy about that. Jack Eichel might be holding a Stanley Cup over his head. The Bandits won a championship. And the AFC East is going to be the most competitive division in football next year. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year. It already has been. It's going to be great. We'll be right back with some more of the Nightcap. I'm Joe Calley, filling in for Zach Jones. You're listening to the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap on WGR. My name's Joe Calley. I'm filling in for Zach Jones while he's in sunny Florida enjoying himself. Hope you are enjoying yourself out there, Zach, if you're listening. I want to take you guys back, if you're listening out there, to Brandon Bean's press conference earlier today. Dropped a lot of stuff about the recent signings, contract extensions, and the stadium, I believe. He said a couple things about. So we're going to, you guys will listen to that, and I'll be right back with you guys in a little bit here.
First off here, to see DeMar out there in a helmet and going through team drills or whatever, how much progress has he made? What specifically has he been elevated?
Yeah, really proud of him, you know, to take that next step. That's probably the – obviously you guys have seen him out here working out. He put the helmet on the last practice last week and texted his parents afterwards, like just so proud of him and thrilled for where he's at in his journey. He's still got, you know – still got more milestones to hit, but to think back, you know, we're just at the beginning of June, and that was the beginning of January, and we were just hoping he'd live, and now he's not only got a normal life, but we're talking about playing not any football, NFL football, so thrilled for him, all the people that have been around him, and it's an amazing story.
So, like, what are the next steps before he, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He still has a journey. Is it like a... like a step ladder type thing? Can you outline
that? Yeah, I mean, we're just upping his, you know, building his reps up, and he's great. Like, he's mentally ready to go. He knows the defense. It's year three into it. It's all that. The next thing is going to be we got to put pads on. And it'll be at training camp, but I thought it was really important for him to, if he could and felt it was ready. You know, this is a two-way communication. This is not us saying you got to do this. And you know, it's he's worked really hard on the mental side of this. Physically, he's all cleared, but this is, you know, a real deal from a mental standpoint after you've been, you know, to where he was. But you know, the next thing will be when we get to St. John Fisher. I think he's done, you know, we'll, you know, through next week, minicamp, continue to ramp him up, you know, with helmets on. But that'll be probably the next big hurdle for him tackling.
The letter something that came together quickly? Is it something we've kind of been looking into for a while? And why was he a good fit on the edge?
Yeah, I mean, you're always, as we say all the time, you know, roster building is a 12-month thing, and I know people panic after the draft sometimes. Oh, you didn't get this position or that position. You never know. Things are always out there. Some guys didn't get what they wanted. He's a guy we checked in with before the draft. He's a guy we stayed in touch with his reps. And a couple of weeks ago, they said, listen, there is some mutual interest here. We talked loose parameters and just thought it would be good to get on a call. So I talked to him. It was the week before last. Had a nice 15-20-minute conversation with him. Told him about our organization, our team. We talked about, you know, he played at Hargrave Military with Shaq and Dion there. We were just talking about some of the guys. Obviously, he knew Vaughn. And then, you know, a few days later, Vaughn came up to me and said, hey, I heard you talk to Leonard Floyd. You know, he reached out and asked some questions. And so that's kind of how it started. And then after that, after that talk, we really started talking numbers. He had some other teams interested. And this weekend, we came to a conclusion that he wanted to be a Bill, and he was going to take the deal we had on the table.
Potentially valuable to this defense?
I'm sorry, my phone was blown up.
What are some of his traits that stood out to you as potentially valuable?
Well, he's a pass rusher. I mean, just the ability to, you know, get after the passer first. You know, again, you got to the best way to play defense in this league, in such a passing league. Yes, you have to stop the run. We know that, but we also got to get to the other quarterback, get him off the spot. Even if you're not sacking them, you know, affecting them, you know, hurrying throws, things like that. I think the last 3 years he's just under 30 sacks. So to add a guy like that to our group adds competition. And, you know, I think our guys all will rise up, you know, adding another guy like Leonard Floyd.
Vaughn talked about how this might alleviate the urgency for him to have to rush back with Leonard here. Is that a fair assessment, and how much does he help, you know, fill that spot for, you know, in the interim, and what is the, you know, when do you expect Vaughn to be back?
Yeah, I don't know when I expect him back. I mean, Vaughn is shooting for week one. That's his target. That's never changed as we sit here today. That's still his goal, our goal. You know, even if we knew right now that he's going to play week one, we would have done this. This wasn't a move of, oh, Vaughn might not be ready. This was about adding to our group, adding another player, and just, you know, we like to rush in waves. We don't play our D-line a high volume of snaps. We want them fresh, getting after that quarterback. So it was really just adding another guy to the group.
How long had the Ed Oliver talks been ongoing, and what made this the right time?
I would say, you know, we had talks last summer a little bit, and ultimately we ended up not doing anything. And after the season, at some point, you know, spoke to his reps, and I spoke to Ed and just said, listen, I'm going to get through the draft. And after that, we'll take a look. We'll see where we're at, what money we have left, where you're at. And, you know, if we can get on the same page, you know, we think your best football is ahead of you, but it has to make sense for him, and it has to make sense for us. And, you know, I think in the end, I think we found the right deal.
Brandon, you've been pretty straightforward at times about Ed maybe, you know, leaving some plays out on the field that he feels like he should have made, or,
or maybe you guys feel like you should have made. You know, that's probably expected when you're a top 10 pick, that there are going to be pretty high expectations.
Yep.
What gives you that confidence that he is going to take that step forward and develop into that consistent week in and week out force that now you're paying him to be?
Yes, I've seen growth in Ed in more ways than just what you see on the field. I think there are more plays out there that Ed could make. I doubled down on that. Ed and I have talked about that. I know Eric Washington's talked with him. I know Sean has. The more he plays, the more experience he gets, understanding at times what teams are trying to do to him. Ed's greatest trait is his get-off. And sometimes people use that against him, and he may run himself, out of a play, just a misdirection or whatever. Knowing what they're trying to do to him, reading his keys, those are the types of things that can, take him another step. But I think his best football is ahead of him. Obviously, we wouldn't have done this move. That position is also it's a premium position in our league, and they're hard to find, especially if you're having success. Where do we draft them? We drafted them up high. It's hard to find those. And so, I think we've invested in him through 4 years, and I think his best football is ahead of him, and it's on him and us to continue to develop him to be, one of those top players. Again, you're looking at those numbers, the highest guys making 30. You got a lot of guys getting in the 20s. So if they're any good, you're going to be paying them, pretty good money.
How pleased are you of Dalton's Kincaid progress so far?
Yeah, I think Dalton's done a nice job. He's coming in here. He's learning. It's still very early, he hasn't even been really in the building a month. But I think he's a great young man. He's working hard. He's given himself every chance he can to make plays out on the field by studying, working his craft, getting with Dawson and the guys in the room. And obviously Rob Boris is doing a good job getting him schooled up. But, it's still going to be a ramp up for him, rookie year. I don't want us putting crazy expectations on him. I think you set him up to fail if you do that. But happy where he's at and looking forward to watching him continue to grow in our system. It could be, potentially, but I don't expect us to do that at this point.
Brandon, getting back to Leonard, is it a coincidence that you now have five guys who won a Super Bowl on that Rams team on this roster?
Yeah, I think it is one of the things you look for is when adding people who have done it and who know, you can always talk about, I can tell you some of the great traits that, I've been a part of teams that made Super Bowls or championship games, and there are some commonality, some common themes. So anytime you can add someone, whether it's a coach, a player, even more, that can talk through what's been there and tell the guys what that team had that kind of set them apart and got them over the top, especially, once you get into the playoffs, where everything takes ramps up another level. So, yes, it's not that we were just choosing that team, but they are, they won it a couple of years ago, and so that's a quality that we wouldn't be afraid to add.
Just as a follow up, because Vaughn talked about this a lot last year. Imagining leaving LA for Buffalo. No offense to Buffalo, but LA is LA, and just to have that kind of thing happened,
yeah,
was somewhat unheard of, before the Bills became winners.
Yeah, I think it's a reflection of what we've been able to do. Obviously, we haven't achieved what we're looking to, that ultimate goal, but I think we've shown progress. We've shown that we're going to be competitive. People like to play with Josh Allen. I think that helps, and I think people see that we've been close, and they're going to look at themselves as maybe I'm one of those players that can help differentiate it in some of the biggest moments, and I think that's how Leonard saw it.
You said you had a lot of conversations, with Ed leading up to this, starting last summer. You just said that he's really focused on proving people wrong that have talked negatively about this contract. Do you get that sense that even after he gets paid like this, that you're going to get the best version of that?
Yeah, Ed's wired that way. He naturally has a chip, and I think he is aware that Some people question whether he earned that or whether he was worth that. We don't. We think his best football is ahead of him. Just because you left plays out there that maybe would have got you to, you know, instead of 5 sacks, 7 sacks, or 4 sacks to 6 sacks, something like that, doesn't mean you're down on him. It just means there's more meat on the bone. And like I said, Ed naturally is wired that way. He wants to prove it. And he still looks at himself as a young guy, and he wants to get back to the table and see if he can get, paid even more.
That is Bills general manager Brandon Bean addressing the media early today. And again, Joe Kelly filling in for Zach Jones. This is the Nightcap you're listening to. Brandon Bean, arguably a great general manager. A lot of people say he's whiffed on a lot of things. Josh Allen's his shining star. This will be a test at Oliver. You don't know how this is going to go. Could go any way, like we had mentioned earlier in the hour here. It's a gamble. You're splashing the pot. You're throwing your chips down. You're hoping that you're able to. You're going all in. You're hoping that he's going to break out, because you've seen a player do this in Tremaine Edmonds. But you've also seen the opposite happen on the team, where Dawson Knox was given the big bucks, and this isn't necessarily on him, but wasn't utilized properly and didn't produce the way you wanted him to, or like a tight end who should be making those big bucks. So it'll be interesting. That's all you could say, because there's nothing we can do about it now. Nothing that can be changed now. Ed Oliver's here to stay for 4 more years, whether you like it or not. I'm kind of in the meh. I like it. I don't like it. Kind of in the middle crowd. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's what it is at the end of the day. It's football. It's all business. If you think you see something in him, and I think the Floyd signing might help Oliver's case. I think it might, because now Von Miller's not going to be rushed back right away. He's not going to be, even though he wants to start week one, which I think is doable from the videos I've seen of him. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a guarantee, but it's doable. I think the Floyd signing is kind of a cushion, which I like. But again, when Miller was playing, Oliver excelled. As soon as Miller got injured, Oliver kind of staggered a little bit, which I think Floyd might help with. And he's proven himself. Floyd played very well on the Rams. He's listed as a linebacker, but he's an edge rusher, okay? Like, there's no question about it. He's a sack machine. And I think he's going to help Oliver out. I think both him and Miller are going to help Oliver out. And I think Oliver might end up being worth it. And I think he's got it on his back this year that he has to be. So I think that's a whole nother thing. We're going to take a quick break, a little timeout here. But when we come back, we'll talk some more Bills, maybe some Sabres, just some off-season news. Nothing special. We'll run it down. Joe Kelly filling in for Zach Jones. You're listening to The Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to The Nightcap. It's Joe Kelly filling in for Zach Jones while he's in sunny Florida. You got me for a little over a week here, so hope you've been enjoying it. Just want to, before we wrap up, we were talking about the AFC East here. We got a couple minutes left. And one thing I wanted to look at here is some divisional winner odds preseason already starting. I think that'd be a good idea. So let's look at, we'll go bottom up. Patriots are plus 750 to win the division. This is from Vegas Insider, by the way. Credible source. Plus 750 does not surprise me in the slightest, as what we were talking about earlier. There's not much going on there. Sorry. You have an offensive coordinator, big whoop. Okay, you still have Mac Jones as your quarterback. It could be bad. We could see. They could subvert expectations and go crazy. We don't know. I'm hoping not. I'm thinking not. So we're going to stick with plus 750 as being a good odd right now. The Dolphins, That's where it gets a little tighter. Make a big jump from plus 750 to plus 290. So the Dolphins are plus 290. They're third. Third. They have them behind the Jets, which is crazy. But I think I'd have the Dolphins over the Jets. But Aaron Rodgers is throwing a fork in the whole thing, so we'll see how that goes. But Dolphins plus 290. The Jets are plus 250. So there we go. Not much of a difference. The Jets edge them out very like by 40 points. That's it. Nothing crazy. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing either. The Bills are plus 130. Plus 130. That seems about right. It's been the trend the past few years. That's just how it is. The Bills have been winning the division. Or not much is going to change there until they lose one season, if they lose, knock on wood. Not much is going to change with that. They're going to still be the predicted favorite. But, unfortunately, the time is coming to an end. But it's been a good first nightcap. So I hope you guys enjoyed. Again, my name's Joe Calley, filling in for Zach Jones. You're listening to The Nightcap on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.